Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is not here tonight, but we have a very special guest, and I'm really excited about doing this show because he and I have a lot of similar interests, and those of you that know me know it probably has something to do with Israel. And we have Pastor George Wayne is here with us tonight, and he is visiting from Olympia, Washington, and from Israel. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about his ministry and how he came to do the things he's doing and how and what he actually is doing. And I've just met him about a week ago, and I've just been absolutely blown away by his work and the outreach that he has to people in the land and also in this land. And so it's a real blessing to have him here. So, Pastor George, hello.
Dr. Phil, hello, and shalom to you. Shalom. And what a privilege it is for me to have this opportunity to meet you and to share about a love that we both have, and
Amen.
That's Israel.
Yes. And many of you may know Pastor Mike Bartolone. He's been a friend of mine for years, and Pastor Mike called me last Friday and said, can you have dinner with us later because I have a surprise for you? And I said, well, you know, I'm going to be doing one in Messiah, and I don't know. It's going to be late. He goes, oh, no, you're going to want to come because I want you to meet somebody. And so I met Pastor George, and then when we were leaving after a couple of hours of talking, Pastor Mike said, I knew you were going to get all excited that he was doing things in Israel. Yeah. So, Pastor George, why don't we start with your domestic story first for a few minutes, and then we'll get to Israel. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm 75, and the Lord has blessed me with good health, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I was a state trooper in the state of Washington for 30 years and retired from there. And
I think he pulled me over once. No.
Yeah, well, it could be. I mean, a lot of them. But the Lord brought me into contact with the Messianic congregation in Olympia and got involved with that. And that really brought my interest to Israel. But it also gave me an opportunity to get into leadership there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been involved in that now since 1995.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you Jewish by ethnicity?
No, I am not.
Just and neither am I.
Right. But we have a great heart for Israel.
Amen.
And yeah, so 3 years ago, the Lord gave me an opportunity to become the pastor of this Messianic congregation. Mm. And so our primary emphasis is to reach out to the Jewish people in our own community, proclaiming the gospel. And, of course, we proclaim the gospel to anybody that will listen. But our focus is on the Jewish community because we believe that God is at work in the Jewish community, bringing them back to himself.
Mm.
And I'll share a little bit more of that when we get to talking about our work in Israel, because God gave me a very clear vision as to what it was that we were to be doing in the land of Israel itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of our listeners, and I find this in my day-to-day life when I talk about Messianic Jewish congregations, Messianic believers, everybody kind of wrinkles their nose and says, what do you mean? Are there... Right. And we say, well, they're Jews who accept Jesus as Messiah. They're called Messianic Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, well, aren't they just Christians then? And don't they just go to a church then? And do you want to, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about Messianic Judaism?
Right. Well, you know, you have to go back in history. The church really was Messianic.
Yes.
until Constantine came along and decided to change some things. And it was brutal because Jewish people lost their families. They were killed because they wanted to participate in those things that identified and made them Jewish, you know, from that perspective. But Constantine changed all of that. And we've been now, what, close to 2,000 years, you know, at least 1,700
years,
in this change. Well, I think there is a connection between Paul's comments of the time of the Gentiles coming to an end and the blindness that has been placed on the Jewish people. I think we're seeing the end of the, whatever it means, the Gentiles coming to an end, and somehow we're returned back to things Jewish. I'm not going to say Judaism, but
yes.
Things Jewish.
Yes.
And so we've seen this rise of the Messianic movement, which, I mean, you could get into a lot of different theological issues. What I see as the greatest distinction is the Jewish people wanting to hold on to their Jewishness. It would be the same with a Hispanic group. They want to hold on to the Jewish, the Hispanic culture and yet be Americans, if you would, or to the black community that wants to hang on to maybe their African-American history and heritage and yet be a part of Americans. And we don't deny them that. So why should we deny a Jewish person who wants to hang on to their Jewishness and yet worship and believe in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Messiah?
Yeah.
And so I see that as what's happening. And I talked with Avi Mitzrachi here some time ago, who was senior pastor of Adonai Roi in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
And he said he has Christians coming from all over the world trying to convert him and get him back to Christianity. And he says, I am Jewish. I want to celebrate my Jewishness and live within that, yet celebrating Yeshua as the Messiah.
Amen.
And so I compliment him for that because there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And our mutual friend Paul Wilbur said to me one night, and we were talking about how more and more churches are getting interested in, you know, the Hebrew roots of the faith and how I always tell people the Bible doesn't start in Matthew 1:1. It starts in Genesis 1:1. And if you start in Matthew, you miss 2/3 of the scriptures because the whole plan of salvation unfolds, of course, through the whole scripture.
That's right.
And you don't know this, Pastor George, but we sometimes refer to my Torah class. I put together some years ago a 33-part study of the Torah for Christians who don't really know a lot about it.
Right.
With emphasis on what the writer to the Hebrews says, these things were types and shadows, and Jesus Yeshua is the substance. And so as you read through the Torah, as you read through the prophets, you see the foreshadowing of Yeshua. You see what Messiah is going to do. You see the prefigurements. The whole plan is laid out.
Yeah.
And so Paul Wilbur and I were talking about this one day, and he said to me, you know, because I got interested in this like 2 days after I became a believer. It didn't take long.
Right.
So he said, man, he goes, you got hit with this right away. Most people get hit with it kind of later.
Right.
I was right away studying the Torah saying, wow, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the fascinating things, and I won't take very long to do this, see if I can really compact it. But, you know, we look at the festivals, which we just celebrated Shavuot. Sukkot. And we look at them as Jewish festivals. They were given to the Jewish people, but they're God's appointed times.
That's right.
And I kind of have a tendency to think globally and in a vision. I'm a visionary. And I've wondered about what God was thinking when he created mankind in the first place, and what was his strategic vision? And it was to have a holy people out here. And yet he knew that man would fail, so he had to have a plan of redemption. So when you stop and think about a strategic vision, there's a goal to reach, but then a part of that is, what are the steps to get there? What were God's steps to get to a holy people? Pesach, that's redemption.
Yes.
He had to redeem a people who had fallen.
Yes.
But then Shavuot, which gives us the Torah and the Holy Spirit. And that's the guidance. And if you look at those two festivals, they're linked by the 50 days of the counting of the Omer.
That's right.
So I think God is saying, Passover, Pesach and Shavuot, the giving of the Torah and the Holy Spirit, are linked. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
You've got to have them both in order to get to the kingdom that God wants to establish. And as I have begun to really see that, the Old Testament, I don't even like to call it the Old Testament anymore. It's the Tanakh.
Yes.
But it's what God had established. His whole plan of salvation is wrapped up in those three festivals, which are pilgrim festivals.
Yes.
But they're his appointed times, and that's a three-point plan of redemption.
Yes. And for those of you that took my Torah class, you should know that cold.
Okay.
I like to throw in first fruits.
Yes.
Because that was the day of the resurrection.
Yes, it was.
And Paul later says, you know, Jesus was the first fruit of the resurrection.
Yes.
And if you don't know what first fruit is, that gets right by you.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, that's
nice. And it's all wrapped up in those festivals because that's God demonstrating what my plan of redemption is all about.
And it's just like when I first became a believer, I was just about to turn 44.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't, you know, some young teenager.
Right.
And for decades, I had heard Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God.
Right.
But I didn't really stop to think about what that meant. Mm-hmm. And I thought they just called him that because, you know, he was nice.
Right.
He was nice.
Yeah.
But then, as you study the Torah, and then as you get to John the Baptist saying, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, it was such a powerful image that the whole scripture basically came together in my mind, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the beauty of what God has done in all of that is that he knew that we needed redemption, but we also needed guidance. You see it in the cloud, the pillar of fire, and that type of stuff. He gives the Torah, and then he gives the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And what we end up doing sometimes is putting more emphasis on the Holy Spirit than the Scriptures, or more emphasis on the Scriptures than the Holy Spirit. No, they're both important to us to get us through life.
Mm.
You know, I can't manage without the Word and without the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an excellent summary.
Yeah,
so now you're pastoring this awesome congregation.
Right. Yes, it's a small congregation, but...
now, do you meet on Saturday mornings? Do you meet on Shabbat?
Yes, we meet on Shabbat, and we celebrate the festivals that God has given to us and just enjoy the fellowship of one another and building on the issue of reaching out into our community and letting people know of the good news.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, boy, this the good
news. We need good news this world.
You know, you know Rabbi Eric Licato's here from Tikvat Israel, and Rabbi Eric and I have been friends for, well, coming up on 10 years now, and periodically, I get to teach there on a Shabbat morning, and it's such an honor for me. I get, I mean, anybody who knows me, I always tell Rabbi Eric, if you were to ask my wife, just out of the blue, what's the most exciting thing Phil likes to do?
Right.
Is teach at Tikvat.
Because, well, good.
I mean, I teach a lot of places, but teaching there has like this special power to it. And it's so cool. And before that, you know, I didn't really know a lot about Messianic Judaism, but I knew the rabbi before that, and I was going there periodically. But I got to know not only Paul Wilbur, but when I got to know the Chernoff family and Martin Chernoff, Joel and David and Hope's father, I mean, you're a little bit older than I am, but not by much. But when I wasn't really a hippie, but I was, you know, kind of a hippie.
Okay.
And certainly not a believer at that time. And when I heard about these people that were the Jesus freaks, the Jesus people, I didn't even know, like, what to think. I thought they were just a bunch of weirdos.
Right.
Like,
right.
What are these people talking about? What a bunch of weirdos. But then when you read, you know, the Chernoff's mother, Joanna, wrote a book about all of this, that when the Holy Spirit moved through the hippie community, so to speak, many of these people were Jewish kids, young people, you know, from the Northeast, that all of a sudden got impacted by the Holy Spirit, came to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah.
Yes.
And then it was like, well, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
as somebody who's only known Judaism,
yeah,
you know, do you go down the street to the Lutheran church? Do you go down the street to the Presbyterian church? Do you go down the street to the Catholic church? Do you go down, you know, where do you feel at home?
That's right.
And the congregation in Cincinnati, Beth Messiah, started that way.
Oh, okay.
By Martin Chernoff.
Right.
Where all these sort of young Jewish people would congregate at their house. From like 6 p.m. till 3 a.m. Then they decided they needed a place to meet.
Right.
And that really, as probably not the first Messianic congregation, but it's sort of the first modern one.
Right.
The first
one
was the Upper Room.
Right.
But it's really quite an interesting movement. It's really, I think it's another sign of the end time.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Establishment of Israel, of course, was the big, was a biggie. But I think the fact that, and as you know, there's so many more congregations in Israel now than there were even 20 years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to get to that.
Well, there was only 50 when I started going in 2005. Now there's over 200.
There's over 200, yeah.
So, yeah.
There's 229 was the last number.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. So now, some of them, of course, are small.
Right.
They're not like 3,000 people churches.
I don't know that they've got those in Israel, to be truthful with you.
Yeah, King of Kings pies.
Yes, they are good size.
Anyway,
yes.
Yeah, but it's been very exciting being involved in the movement. And that's why it was exciting to meet you. So, so you've been doing the ministry there at the congregation, and you're meeting on Saturdays, and how big of a congregation do you have, roughly?
If we have everybody there at one time, we're probably 30, 35, but generally we run around 20, 25. Yeah. It's, but one of the fascinating things to me about the Messianic movement, if you go back into the 1800s, there was a rabbi, and I don't remember his name, that came to faith in Yeshua. But he was an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and he came to faith in a church that, you know, was exciting and worshipful, and he loved what he was seeing in Yeshua Christ, but he wanted to hang on to his Judaism, I mean his Jewish practices, and so he began to bring these two together, the best of Messianic of Orthodox Judaism with Christ and the best of the Christian church. And that's kind of what the Messianic movement is maintaining our Jewishness, but embracing the celebration and the excitement that comes around Yeshua Christ. Yeah.
I tell my Messianic Jewish friends, I'm happy to be grafted in.
That's right. Not just a kid. That's right.
You can
right.
read Romans 9, 10, and 11 for your homework.
Yes.
But we're going to get to the, oh, there comes the first break. So we're going to listen to this Paul Wilbur song, and then we're going to get into the Pastor George's mission in Israel, which is very exciting. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Praise him with the cymbal. Praise him with the dance. Praise him with the shofar. Praise him with your hands. Praise him with the timbrel. Praise him with the harp, praise him with the drum and the flute, praise him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Heavens, praise him, moon and stars, praise him for his glory and power, praise him with Praise Him with the cymbal. Praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the shofar. Praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute. Praise Him with your heart.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We have Pastor George Wainis here with us tonight, and I hope you got, I hope you listened to the first segment. And we're going to give him plenty of opportunity to give you some contact information if you want to find out more about what he does and more about the congregation and more about the mission that we're going to talk about now. So, Pastor George, why don't you go ahead and talk about Rescue in Israel.
Okay. I've been involved in working with rescue missions, like the Cleveland Rescue Mission, mm-hmm. working with the homeless for the past 25 years, and started a mission in Olympia, the Olympia Union Gospel Mission in 1995. And then God put on my heart, gave me an opportunity to go to Israel, and had introduced me to some folks from Israel that were concerned about the homeless. And so when I went in late 2004, had a chance to stay and just see what the need was, mm-hmm. and found there was a need, went back in 2005, worked with Avi Mitzrachi for about 7 weeks and, mm-hmm. and other leaders in the land. I wanted to make sure that they wanted this type of ministry, mm-hmm. and that we weren't going to come do the work. We wanted to raise up leaders in the land to do the work, mm-hmm. which is the best way to do it. And we found that there was interest in that. So Avi put together a task force in February of 2006, and I went over and I laid out what a rescue mission looked like. And my primary question was, are you interested in us coming and working with you to do this? And everyone, 100%, said yes, we want to see it happen, because they see the homeless on the streets,
yes.
of Tel Aviv. And so we went back in summer of late summer of 2006 and established a nonprofit called Ohel Avraham, mm-hmm. and we needed to have a nonprofit in Israel, an organization with a board, and so we established that. But I was questioning why I'm there, why me, and so I was up on the Mount of Olives, May 13th, 2005,
Ooh.
And I remember the day, I remember the hour, and I was looking at the old city, which you've seen,
yes.
and the Eastern Gate, which is all brick and mortared
.
And then the cemetery that the Muslims think is going to stop Yeshua from coming through the Eastern Gate. And I'm chuckling to myself, thinking, I don't think any of this is going to slow him down.
Or the blocks either.
That's right. I mean, he can walk through the walls. I don't think blocks are going to stop him. So, and as I'm standing there, Paul Wilbur's song came to my mind, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm. And I felt God take me to Matthew 23.
Yes.
And Yeshua is standing up there somewhere probably, and he's looking at the old city.
Yes.
And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wished I could gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not.
Mm-hmm.
You will not see me again until you cry, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And at that moment, it was like a confirmation. The Lord said, you're here to help raise up people off the street with their drug addictions, prostitution, those types of things. And they will become a part of the chorus of Jewish people who will sing Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai.
Wow.
And so I went back into Tel Aviv and up to Avi Mizrahi's office and sat down with him, and I said, wow, I really think that this is, you know, and so from there started the work in 2006. 2007, we hired a director, Gene, and he's from the Ukraine. He came a part of the, when the former Soviet Union collapsed, mm-hmm. there was over a million Russians poured mm-hmm. into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, I shouldn't say many, there was a good percentage of them that brought their alcoholism with them.
Yes.
That's a major problem in Russia. And
those
who would not learn Hebrew, and some that even did, ended up on the streets. There were doctors, there were professional people that were homeless because they wouldn't make the transition. They wanted to get out of Russia, but they weren't willing to make the transition that was needed in Israel, so they ended up homeless. And so we've got now a large homeless population, mainly of Russian. Today, drugs are getting into the school system, and so we'll probably see homeless Israeli youth, you know, coming out onto the streets one of these days. But, and so God knew that we needed a man who spoke Russian,
mm-hmm.
who spoke Hebrew, and also spoke English, because I needed to be able to communicate. And one of the things that we do that is unique to our ministry that a lot of ministries in Israel don't do, and that is that we train our people. We want them qualified to work with the homeless. And so we bring them here to the United States to receive training at rescue missions, because that's what we're establishing as a rescue mission in Israel.
Wow.
And so in 2007, we hired Gene, and he put together a program and after his training. And 2010, we opened a men's shelter. And from that, we've seen over 100 men come through our program.
Mm.
And on our website, which is www.rescueinisrael, all one word, .org,
mm-hmm.
You can read our newsletters that are there. The one that's just come out, it's not published yet, on the website, shares the testimony of God's transforming power in the life of a drug addict, mm-hmm. or alcoholic in this case.
That's rescueinisrael.org.
Rescueinisrael.org.
Yeah.
But yeah, this latest newsletter talks about Oleg and his testimony. And we're seeing that. We see that here at the Cleveland Rescue Mission. We see it at rescue missions all over the nation,
mm-hmm.
of men and women coming out of their drugs and their alcohol by the power of Almighty God to transform their lives. And so we're seeing that in Israel.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think when my wife Joan and I started going, we were shocked at the level of poverty and
yes.
the level of drug addiction mm-hmm. that was around,
mm-hmm.
because I had in my mind, you know, sort of the stereotype.
Yeah.
Oh, they're Jewish people. They're all professional. They're all doing really well. And there's this beautiful place and everybody's got great jobs and great
mm-hmm.
health. Well, it was quite a shock when I met people who pastored Messianic congregations in Northern Galilee,
mm-hmm.
which are mainly Russian speaking.
Right.
And Beit Yeshua in Jerusalem, which mm-hmm. is Zvi Randleman's congregation and drug home.
Yeah.
And we got to minister there, and we got to minister at a rescue place in Migdal, which is right outside of Tiberias.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing to see the scope of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as people came from the former Soviet Union, as you said, you know, they brought alcoholism. They didn't really blend into the population right away. The country was kind of overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
by
mm-hmm.
this million or 2 million people suddenly coming in.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't really adjusted completely to this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really not enough jobs for everybody.
Right.
And, it's a tough social situation, but, we work with a church in Kiryat Shemona, which is in the far north, and
mm-hmm.
in Carmiel.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in Carmiel has planted some other congregations in some other smaller cities. But most of their outreach is, you know, what we might call charitable mm-hmm. giving, where they give clothes, they mm-hmm. give food. They go when it's one of the feasts of the Lord, they
mm-hmm.
go into the streets and
mm-hmm.
explain about Yeshua, explain about the gospel, give away clothes, give away right. food, and it's a way that they've been able to reach out
mm-hmm.
to the people there in the land.
Right. Well, and that's what the Lord wants us to do.
Yes.
I remember when we started the Olympia Union Gospel Mission, we didn't have a facility. We were just downtown mm-hmm. ministering.
Yeah.
And it was on Sundays. That's the only time we had at the time. And I remember a day when some people got into an argument. Well, where would, if Jesus came to Olympia today, what church would he be in? And I listened to this for a while, and finally I interjected and I said, you know, I don't think he'd be in anybody's church, because number one, the pride of, boy, the first church he visited, he'd be right down on the streets of Olympia.
Mm.
And that's where he ministers, is on the streets of Tel Aviv to, you know,
wow.
to those that are outcast and broken and,
wow.
you know, Isaiah 61.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Whew. So, anyway.
And a lot of the, and of course, that's one of the main messianic promises,
yes.
or prophecies, I should say.
It is.
It's, you know, bringing good news to the poor.
That's
and the
right.
The release of captives.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's people, you know, we're all captives of
mm-hmm.
sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our sort of natural
yeah.
state.
Right.
But there's so many other things that we're captive of, and
mm-hmm.
not necessarily just alcohol and drugs,
right.
but just, you know, all the things you do in your life that you're captives of, all that stuff has to be broken.
Right.
And the only way it can be broken is that release from captivity
mm-hmm.
has to be done by the Messiah.
That's right. Well, there's a verse of scripture. Come on, phone. Psalms 113. This is a favorite scripture of mine. And we remind people that this is part of the reason why we're there. It says in verses 7, 8, and 9 of Psalms 113, he raises the poor mm-hmm. from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap
mm-hmm.
to make them sit with the princes mm-hmm. of his people.
Yeah.
And that's what God desires to do, no matter where we're at. But I can just see the beautiful picture of God is taking and raising up these men out of their addiction, out of the ash heap.
Yeah.
And they're going to sit in places of education and government
yeah.
because God says that's what he wants to do
yeah.
with them. You know?
And as you quote that scripture, I think the Song of Hannah and mm-hmm. the Song of Mary
yeah.
both have that concept in it about right. raising people out of the ash heap.
And yes.
It's pretty
yeah.
neat.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what our God's doing.
Yes.
Because really, every one of us
yeah.
have been raised out of an ash heap,
yeah.
you know?
My wife and I have done a lot of mission work in Mexico City and inhabited mm-hmm. garbage dump areas.
Right.
And we've worked with
yeah.
an orphanage there, but mostly we've worked in the garbage dump areas.
Right.
And I used to tell those people that live there that if Jesus were physically here now,
mm-hmm.
although he loves the people who live downtown,
right.
he would probably be over here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He'd be on the street. He'd
yeah.
be.
He wouldn't be down at the nice hotels
right.
and hanging around the
right.
you know nice restaurants over there. He'd
right.
be over here with you guys.
Well, didn't he get criticized for eating with the public? Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, and then what yeah. was really touching was seeing some of these people living in these horrible places.
Yeah.
That came to faith in Jesus as their Messiah,
mm-hmm.
that when you would walk into the place and you'd say, hey, how you doing? They'd go, oh, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was an average American walking in there would say, what do you mean blessed? You live
That's
in a garbage
right.
dump.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, it's just beautiful to see what God's doing.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And in the land, it's such a special, feeling because as the people are regathering, you know, they just brought in,
mm-hmm.
they just brought 40,000 people from northern India.
I know.
That are from the tribe of Ephraim
yeah.
back to the land.
Yeah.
They just appointed a high priest.
Yes.
There's a Sanhedrin that's
yes.
been in place now
yeah.
since the end of 04.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have thought of these things even
that's right.
100 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in some ways, we in the church have kind of skipped over Zechariah 14.
Oh, yeah.
Which talks about Sukkot and the nations
yeah.
coming up to Israel to celebrate Sukkot.
Yeah.
And so God's not done away with that concept and his appointed times. And we need to honor that and recognize that. And he's doing that in Israel. He's preparing the people of Israel, and the nations of the world.
Yeah, and I'm very powerfully moved by this song. I'm sure you know, Baruch Adonai, that Joel Chernoff wrote it. Paul Wilbur does the best version of it, of course. But he's my, you know, I'm a little prejudiced toward him.
Right.
I'm on his
board. I love his music.
I'm on his board, and I love the guy. And I've, you know, followed him around as a groupie for a lot of years.
yeah.
And his two sons call me Uncle Phil.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And they say I'm their favorite uncle.
Right.
Now,
just part of the family.
Yeah. And now Nathan's wife, Malky, even says that I'm her favorite uncle now. So.
Okay. Well, good.
So, you know, it's, blessings. I'm in the family.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
I forgot where I was going with this. But the song Baruch Adonai is, and you can Google it or look it up, but you know, when the nations are praising.
Yes.
You know, the nations means the Gentiles, which means us.
That's us.
When the nations are praising, Israel's going to answer, Amen.
Yes.
Because eventually, you know, Zechariah 12:10, they're going to, the Spirit's going to fall on Jerusalem in a very special way.
Right.
They're going to look on him whom they've pierced, and they're going to mourn like you mourn for an only
53.
Son.
Isaiah 53.
Yeah. Yes. So they're going to say, wow, he's really the Messiah.
Yes.
And the Gentiles are going to be praising, and Israel's going to answer, Amen.
Yeah.
And I always, that song really moves me. Mm-hmm. And then when I think like what Paul says in Romans, if, you know, the Gentiles came to faith to, you know, make the Jews jealous.
Yes.
And what's it going to, if life came to the Gentiles by Israel's rejection,
you
know, what's going to happen when Israel comes to acceptance?
I'm ready for it to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope it's tonight.
Yeah, well, okay, tonight I'll be satisfied with too.
So are you basically in Tel Aviv ministering?
Currently we're in Tel Aviv. We have a shelter in Jaffa, just south of Tel Aviv. We wanted to start in Tel Aviv and demonstrate that the work of rescue, and by that, I'm talking about bringing believers together. We have Jews and Arabs. They're believers on our board, and they're working together.
Awesome.
Jews, Arabs, Russians, Americans, and Israelis. You know, it's wonderful to see the unity that God's bringing through this ministry and these folks. But then our goal is also to take this out into the women's arena, which we can talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
But there's such a need. Human trafficking is a tragedy in Israel, as it is all over the world. And we work with these women, and we hear of their deaths, and they're dying from drug and overdoses, and we have no place to put them currently.
Mm.
And so our goal is to open a women's shelter as well. So,
wow. Yeah,
so,
and I'm looking at Rescue in Israel's one of the brochures, and I see this picture of this young woman that's called Jane.
Right.
And I heard about her from a different ministry. And it's really, do you want to just say a few words about that?
I took her picture in May of 2013. And Jean had told me her story, our director there. She has a ring around her neck. It's hard to see it in this picture. She was chained to a doghouse for 6 months. Fed table scraps and dog food and abused. She eventually was able to break through, break free. And she started coming into our feeding program. And we were talking, this is in 2013, we were talking about, you know, we need to really look to establish something for them. And, but the things have not fallen into place yet for that to happen. And she came in July of 2014. She knew we had the men's shelter, and she asked Jean, our director, you know, are you ever going to establish a women's shelter? And Jean said, you know, we're working on that. We want to do that. 2 weeks later, she was brutally murdered by those people that, you know, are trying to control her. And the disc that we have, if people want to get that with the video, is an interview of another lady. And it's heartbreaking to hear of the trauma. She doesn't understand what love is, and she admits that. And she tells us right on the video. They don't understand. I mean, obviously, they've been abused, you know. So trying to establish, like I said, we train our people. So finding a woman that we can bring to the States, not only for the drug and alcohol training, but also the trauma associated with human trafficking, the damage goes deep. And we're told it can take 5 to 7 years to really see these women healed.
Yeah, so, that's what was struck when Pastor V. Randleman was talking to us about the men who are in Beit Yeshua that are recovering from drugs, that it's such a long process.
Yes.
I mean, I know that as a medical person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the spiritual side of me says, well, you know, once they come to faith in Yeshua, they should be okay.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
it's a long process.
It does. Yeah. Well, Christ can heal. But then the mind and the damage that's done, as we all know, we need that counseling. We need that help to break some of those strongholds.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, here we go to a quick second break. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is the last segment, Pastor George. I can't believe it. We're having so much fun here. Yes. I think we should do like another 3 hours, but
here we go.
So with your ministry in Israel, the outreach to these, to the trafficking and the drug and alcohol and all the things that you've mentioned, you need help with that.
Right.
Do you want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's interesting to have watched over these last few years how God is, you know, we started out as an American thing, helping in the Jewish community, raising up leaders in the land. But as happens in Israel, other nations are becoming aware and getting involved. Mm. And we had a great gift from Hong Kong a couple of years ago for $80,000 towards the ministry.
Wow.
Sweden, we're getting support from them now on a regular basis. And a foundation in Sweden has started giving us $30,000 a year.
Wow.
Towards the ministry. And we rent right now, we lease a facility for our men's program. And we're looking for a women's program. We weren't sure just how we were going to put all that together. And close to about 10 months ago, a Finnish group got to know us.
Wow.
And gave us $168,000. But they said it had to be used to purchase property.
Uh-huh.
And that's a challenge.
That's pretty tough in Israel.
You're not just a kidding. Expense-wise and even finding facilities. And so we believe that this $168,000 is seed money. And so this month we're starting a capital campaign to raise up to $1 million, at least $800,000 over that $186,000 or $168,000, in order to buy property. We're looking at a piece of property now that would support our men's ministry, and it's $740,000. We want it outside the Tel Aviv area. We want to be away from where the influences are.
Yeah.
And especially with the women. We want them away from the influences. We have to be concerned because the Russian mafia is involved in bringing these women in. So there's safety concerns that we have to be considerate of for our staff people. And so we believe God's given us this $168,000 in order to be the seed money to have our own facilities. And we have a new director of our men's shelter. We'll bring him here to the States in the spring to get his training. But we'll probably also train him in the area of administering a women's program. Mm. Because finding a woman that can speak Hebrew, Russian, and English, and then have the freedom to come here for 5 months in training is going to be tough.
That's pretty difficult.
Right. So if we can hire, well, if we can take Igor and train him, then we can hire internally in the state of Israel the women that we need, but he would administer. And they need healthy men. These women need to see healthy men that love God and don't take advantage of them. And so that would be, that's our primary goal at this point. And God is opening some doors for us. And, you know, we'd love to have anybody help us and just go over the top of $1 million. To us, that's an impossible task with the Lord, because it's his ministry. It's his work. Amen. And he's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And in the process, men and women's lives are going to be transformed, not only for time, but for eternity.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... You know, like I like to say, there's a disease out there, and we have the cure. But is there a efficient, quick way that people can donate to the ministry?
Yes. If you go to our website, the www.rescueinisrael.org, there is a button there you can click on to donate, or there's one of the links for contact us.
Okay.
And you can see our physical address, our mailing box address. So if a person wants to send a check, they could mail it in to that address.
Uh-huh.
Or if they want to go online, they can make a donation either one time or on a monthly basis. And And so, yeah, we've made it as easy as we can.
So you can donate online by credit card?
By credit card.
Or mail a check.
Or mail, right, yeah. So
if somebody wants to give the $1 million, they should contact you personally?
Yes. We'd love to give them a personal thank you. But, you know, even to the person who – and we have people, you know, they give $5 a month. And we thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because it's everybody, and we look at this as a team effort. It's not about me,
mm-hmm.
and it's not about our staff in Israel. It's about all of us working together to minister to the needy in Israel, and that is a mandate of God.
Amen.
He did it with, you know, don't harvest your fields right out to the edge,
that's
leave
right.
it for the poor.
Shake the trees once.
That's right. You know, just a kidding. And so his heart is with them.
Yeah.
But I can't do it by myself. You can't do it, as you know, as we all know. It takes all of us working together.
Right.
And so Rescue in Israel is a partnership with all of our donors, whether they give 25 cents or $1 million, because it's what God has gifted people's ability to do. Is what we are grateful for, and I should mention we have good accountability. We make sure that everything is accountable. I have people give me 10 cents, or well, let's say a buck. You know, here's a buck, and I say, well, I need your name and your address because I'm going to send you a receipt. Aww. Oh, you don't need a receipt. I said, yes, you do. What you do with it is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
For accountability purposes,
yeah.
I will not even take a dollar without having a receipt go to that person, because I'm responsible for those dollars that come in, and I want people to know that we are a group of people of integrity and honesty, and we want to be good stewards of what God
gives
to us.
We will link the website on the Gift of Grace site and the One in Messiah site.
Good.
And we'll talk about it more. I can't believe the show's over. Wow, it's been awesome being here with Pastor George. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, I have. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been a blessing to know you. And I hope that all of you have been impacted by this and that all of you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as Psalm 122:6 tells us, because this is where he put his name.
That's right.
And I hope you have an awesome, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day and have an awesome week, and we'll be back with you next week.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.